this week. We discuss the symbol of the square and compasses. Is it inherently a symbol representing sacred feminine along with the sacred masculine? What does Albert Mackey have to say about the female symbol corresponding to the yoni? And in what other ways does Freemasonry symbolism refer to compartmentalized or masculine-feminine dualism? Then we'll have a special contemplative exercise about being a mentor or seeking one out. Now's the time. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 593. Right away, I want to thank our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners of the WCY podcast. Thank you so much for all of your support. Without you, we are not able to make this podcast in any kind of quality way. So I want to thank those, especially who are monthly contributors to this show, who give financially. We absolutely, wholeheartedly thank you so much. If you want to learn more, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out the various options. In addition, if you dislike to support us in other ways, you can click the More tab and then click on the link for Skull and Crown Limited. It is where I do my premium bespoke leather works. Almost nothing is made in bulk and stocked. We've got a couple items that we standard make all the time. So we do have a little bit of a inventory on some of those. But for the most part, if you're interested in something, just hit me up. Let me know what you're thinking about and we will work together to make those things for you. In the news, just want to mention that I will be presenting over a dinner at Iowa City Lodge. More information to be determined. We'll be doing that on May 22nd, so just around the corner. Also in the news, this is releasing on or right around Mother's Day. And because of this, I chose that this week I wanted to give our show a little bit of a feminine flair. So what are we going to do? Well, we're kind of in luck because Brother Darren A. Lehners actually wrote a piece called Sacred Feminine? About 4 years ago. So let's check this out. We'll get right into the education right now. From Darren A. Lehners, Sacred Feminine? Upon a recent viewing of the movie The Da Vinci Code, I discovered something that had eluded me up until now. Dr. Langdon, played by Tom Hanks, was discussing the symbol of the sacred feminine with Sir Lee Teabing, played by Ian McClellan. The feminine V shape, which was presented, reminded me very much of the square displayed proudly daily on my Masonic ring, which is intersected by a compass with a letter G in the middle. Is this accidental? Or, like other symbols in Freemasonry, is there a hidden meaning to be found? In Illinois, the blazing star is described as one of the ornaments of the lodge as being a hieroglyphic representation of divine providence. In more ancient traditions, it is represented as consisting of two equilateral triangles interlocked. The triangle, with the apex pointed down, was emblematic of the Creator, with the apex pointing down toward the created universe, whereas the triangle pointing up was a representative of man pointing toward God, the Creator. When intertwined as a six-pointed star, they would form a single figure, the symbol of the unity between God and His creation. However, even more ancient was the hexagram being representative of sexual union between man and woman, the triangle pointed downward representing the feminine and the other triangle representing the male. I know what you're thinking. Don't take my word for it. Albert Mackey says, the triangle pointing downward is the female symbol corresponding to the yoni, and the upward pointing triangle is the male, the lingam. When the two triangles are interlaced, it represents the union of the active and passive forces in nature. It represents the male and female elements. So what does this have to do with the square and compasses? The square and the compasses are a representation of the blazing star. You have the feminine square intersecting with the masculine compasses. Within the square and compass, a diamond shape surrounds the letter G. This diamond shape also is similar to the double-pointed oval used to represent the yoni, or female sexual organs. God being the seat of creation of all things, He is positioned within the overtly feminine symbol of the yoni, which is also representative of creation. In Albert Mackey's The Symbolism of Freemasonry, illustrating and explaining its science and philosophy, its legends, myths, and symbols, he explains, quote, "All the deities of pagan antiquity, however numerous they may be, can always be reduced to two different forms of the generative principle, the active or male and the passive or female. Hence the gods were always arranged in pairs as Jupiter and Juno, Bacchus and Venus, Osiris and Isis. But the ancients went farther, believing that the procreative and productive powers of nature might be conceived to exist in the same individual. They made the older of their deities hermaphrodite, having both male and female genitalia, and used the term man-virgin to denote the union of two sexes in the same divine person." End quote. Even in ancient Babylonian myth and early Hebrew, El, or God, the supreme god of the Sumerians, and Yahweh shared the same consort, Asherah, according to Ronald L. Ecker, in his book, And Adam Knew Eve. Quote, "In the Bible her name often appears as Asherah, meaning the Asherah. In such instances, the reference is not to the goddess, but to the symbol of her, an object in the plural, Asherim, that was apparently a sacred pole, tree, or group of trees, hence the translation groves, at Israelite sanctuaries or high places, as well as by altars of Baal. The erecting of Asherim was among the quote-unquote evil deeds of kings like Ahab and Manasseh, and cutting the things down was a regular chore of quote-unquote right kings like Hezekiah and Josiah. The presence of Asherah, or her symbol, at places where Yahweh, the biblical god of the Hebrews, was worshipped, raises the question of whether the Canaanite goddess was considered also to be the consort of Yahweh. We know from references to, quote-unquote, the sons of God, Genesis 6:1 through 4, Job 1:6, 2:1, and 38:7, the host of heaven, 1 Kings 22:19, angels, from Genesis 19:1, Psalms 103:20, God's statement, "Let us make man in our image," Genesis 1:26, that Yahweh was not alone in his heaven. We know also that Yahweh supplanted the Canaanite El, to the extent that God's other names in the Hebrew Bible include El, El Elyon, or God Most High, El Shaddai, God Almighty, and the original plural form, Elohim, as in Genesis 1:1. But the square and compasses isn't the only symbol with Freemasonry that refers to this idea. If we go back to Mackey's The Symbolism of Freemasonry, illustrating and explaining its science and philosophy, its legends, myths, and symbols, he says, quote, "Now the hermaphrodism of the supreme divinity was again supposed to be represented by the sun, which was the male generative energy, and by nature, or the universe, which was the female prolific principle. And this union was symbolized in different ways, but principally by the point within a circle, the point indicating the sun, and the circle, the universe, invigorated and fertilized by his generative rays. And in some of the Indian cave temples, this illusion was made more manifest by the inscription of the signs of the zodiac on the circle." Mackey goes on to then give the following explanation, quote, "So far then we arrive at the true interpretation of the Masonic symbolism of the point within a circle. It is the same thing, but under a different form. As the master and wardens of a lodge, the master and wardens are symbols of the sun, the lodge of the universe or world, just as the point is the symbol of the same sun and the surrounding circle of the universe. But the two perpendicular parallel lines remain to be explained. Everyone is familiar with the very recent interpretation that they represent the two Saints John, the Baptist and the Evangelist. But this modern exposition must be abandoned if we desire to obtain the true ancient signification. In the first place, we must call to mind the fact that, at two particular points of his course, the sun is found in the zodiacal signs of Cancer, June, and Capricorn, December. These points are astronomically distinguished as the summer and winter solstice. When the sun is in these points, he has reached his greatest northern and southern declination, a gradual falling off from a higher state, and produces the most evident effects on the temperature of the seasons and on the length of the days and nights. These points, if we suppose the circle to represent the sun's apparent course, will be indicated by the points where the parallel lines touch the circle. Or, in other words, the parallels will indicate the limits of the sun's extreme northern and southern declination when he arrives at solstitial points of Cancer and Capricorn. But the days when the sun reaches these points are, respectively, the 21st of June and the 22nd of December, and this will account for their subsequent application to the two Saints John, whose anniversaries have been placed by the Church near those days. End quote. Is it so far-fetched, then, to imagine that our mysteries then refer to the great architect of the universe as being similar? Isn't it possible that the G within the square encompasses refers to this more ancient understanding of the Creator as encompassing both the masculine and feminine? Before your blood begins boiling, I want to point out that this wouldn't be the only place in Freemasonry where we have symbols that refer to genitalia. As this is a titled article, I wouldn't just point out that all Masturbasons should know what this refers to within our rituals. However, it also has a further allusion which should be clear to everyone in the context of this article. Yes, my brothers, it is sublimely referring to the act of creation. If you're curious on what symbol Brother Darren is referring to, you'll need to click the link in the show notes and scroll down to see the image. I won't disclose it here. Continuing on. Of course, there are many explanations for our symbols. I'm just pointing out some coincidences between them and how the feminine has been represented. Many of these coincidences Albert Mackey also understood. There are obviously many explanations for the symbols I've presented here. It's just my goal to educate my brothers and for them ultimately to decide for themselves what they think. Darren A. Laners. Now, this really just touches on the surface level of things. The deeper we get in Freemasonry, especially on the quote-unquote philosophical or esoteric side, we find a deeper understanding of the sort of movement toward an understanding of duality before eventually coming to an understanding of oneness. But before we can be understanding of the oneness, it does sort of help one's mind to understand the duality. And many systems actually just teach the duality and they don't go beyond this. And that's okay. It may be that is the teaching of the system that you're studying or involved with, and this is the idea of the divine feminine and masculine principles. These sorts of ideas also find themselves trickling up, as it were, an effervescent effect of the teachings of this sort are contained within honorary and invitational organizations, both tied to Freemasonry and some that are not. We'll leave it at that. Now, the next thing I'd love to do is to do a random tarot card draw. This is something, again, I will always say that tarot is not Masonic. However, what the tarot does is sort of Masonic in that it is not unlike a Masonic symbol in that when we might think, how does the compasses apply to some element of our life? And we contemplate this. In this context, we're going to pull a card which might have a prescribed meaning and say, is there anything within our life right now that we can focus on where the card might assist us in navigating this scenario? And the beautiful thing about this is it forces you to look at your life in or through the lens of this particular scenario or thought pattern represented by the card. Something you might not think to do on your own. But when forced to look through another lens, it might assist you in seeing a different perspective. So, because it's Mother's Day, I thought it would be fun to use a deck that would be, in a way, apropos to the day. In the past, I've done tarot card draws using a deck called Our Tarot, which is a wonderful tarot deck that celebrates womanhood and famous women and not-so-famous women. Women who have really shaped our societies and laws and rules and artists and just a really cool celebration of women in general. We did a cool review with this particular tarot deck on our TikTok page where my wife was with me and we went through it together. It was really cool. So I won't use that in this one. I thought it would be kind of cool to use a deck, and at first I grabbed the Britney Spears Oracle. Yes, I own it. But for this one, I'm going to use the Merrill Tarot. It says, look into your future with a movie icon. Divination with Hollywood's High Priestess. Ooh. Well, we're not using any divination here. We're just using this as a lens through which to look at anything in a scenario and how it might work for us in Freemasonry. And if there is a similitude in Masonry, we'll discuss that too. So, I'm just pulling out this deck. I'm just going to give this a quick shuffle. I will post a picture of the card in the Facebook group, the Craftsman Plus, which is available to all of those people who assist and have supported the WCY podcast. I'm just going to go ahead and get a random pull of the card here. Pulled my one card. We'll flip it over, and we got the King of Swords. And it's a scene from The Post where Meryl Streep plays Kay Graham. I've never seen this movie. But nonetheless, let's see what the King of Swords means for us. First of all, swords are a symbol that deals with mental processes around our minds and our intuition and intellect. I would sort of lean toward intellect, though. It's very Masonic in that aspect already, this idea of consciousness. We are already using the tools to shape our consciousness, as we say, for that house not made with hands. But the King of Swords in particular is kind of a great card. So we drew it in the upright, which speaks to the idea of sort of this ultimate intellectual power, this prowess of intellect, being mindful and singular in what you want to achieve. We might call that direct or clear. It also is a card that represents the king, right? The boss, the authority, the idea of truth. With this card having an element of truth to it, there's a line in Masonic literature that says, be sure to ensure that we never forget those true Masonic ornaments of brotherly love, relief, and truth. This Masonic ornament. Now, because this card sometimes represents some sort of a professional who oversees or assists people, I think Masonically, it's really a calling to our mentors, our professional mentors, our advisors, our consultants. And so when we pull this card, perhaps it's speaking to us to remember to be the best mentor you can be. And while we will never be perfect, we can attempt to be as close to it as possible by maintaining a balanced approach and being honest and truthful about everything we're mentoring. For instance, if we don't know the answer to something, we can learn it together. And on the other side of things, perhaps you're the learner and you're working with a mentor that looks to be an expert, has high qualifications, is quote-unquote the best at ritual or floor work or philosophical understanding of Masonry, and you're feeling overwhelmed that this person is really pushing hard and it's difficult for you to grasp all those things, and you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this. But this card shows up in this way to say, yeah, not only can you do this, you will do it because it's something that you need right now. It's kind of a kick in the pants to say, work with your mentor. Don't forget about them. They're right here. And lastly, I might suggest that perhaps we're not working with a mentor, but we're on the cusp of doing something pretty awesome for the lodge. And in this way, we might want to consult our King of Swords, our king, our best person in the lodge, perhaps, in that intellectual and truthfulness sort of sense. Maybe it's time to go to that person and ask to get some advice. Just some random thoughts for you. Again, tarot is not Masonic, but it is a tool. And it's not unlike any of the other Masonic tools. It's just its own system that I happen to also use because I've been in other organizations like BODA for years that use tarot to assist in the process of internal mental work, gaining perspectives, and all of these other things. So, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Once more, I will post links to everything relevant in the show notes. A image of the card will be featured in the Facebook group, Craftsman Plus, available to all of the supporters of the show, past and present. Happy Mother's Day to anyone out there acting in that capacity of the mother. Once more, I want to thank all of the supporters of the program. If you want to learn more about how you can assist Masonic Education for all those interested, head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. That's it for this week. We'll talk to you all next week. And until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
That's it. Okay, girl.